German Chancellor Angela Merkel has been facing tough questions while touring damage from those devastating floods last week that killed at least 196 people. Germans are asking why their country, famous for engineering and its leading role in climate change negotiations, could be caught so tragically off guard by the kind of extreme weather that climate scientists have predicted for years. The past few weeks have also seen a blistering heat wave in the American West, an above-normal hurricane season is predicted, and the kind of extreme weather events that climate change will make more likely and more severe are said to be coming. Frederica Otto is Associate Director of the Environmental Change Institute at Oxford University in the UK. Freddie, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And start with the flooding. We know that rising temperatures caused by the greenhouse effect of gas emissions means we're living, you know, kind of inside a greenhouse, which is holding on to moisture, which then rains down on us. Now, we can never attribute a specific weather event to climate change directly. There are other factors always. But these downpours in Germany behind this flooding, we're hearing that the rainfall has been being called unimaginable volumes of rain. More than 18 gallons of water could pour down on an area within just a few hours. You know, when you hear this kind of number, that kind of water coming down, is that something that you, who studies these, you know, severe weather, did that click like, oh yeah, that's what we're going to be seeing?
It's one of the very well-known aspects of climate change that we see more extreme rainfall and also more extreme rainfall coming down in a shorter time. And we know from tropical countries, which are hotter, that there is a lot more rain coming down in a short amount of time. And when we have higher temperatures in more mid-latitudes, we also see this kind of rainfall. So it's not, in that sense, it's not a surprise.
Yeah. No, although it was shocking to the people in Germany, people charged with alerting people, the water rose so fast, you know, some people couldn't get response out in time. They were caught off guard. I mean, it's just, we see the pictures. It's just unimaginable. However, you know, people like you have imagined it. So answer the people who say 80% of Bangladesh is a floodplain. It floods there. Amsterdam built a series of flood protections because it floods. The Mississippi River floods. Why is this different?
Well, the main difference is in Bangladesh, everyone gets a flood warning on their phone when there are flood alerts so that people have time to evacuate and people know that floods are dangerous and evacuate. Even in the U.S., you get the TV programs and radio shows are interrupted to warn people for extreme weather events. Nothing like this exists in Germany. Also, people are not educated that weather can be dangerous. So that is, I think, one of the really important aspects of why the death toll was so high. And that, I think, is one of the really important lessons Germany has to learn.
Yeah, well, and maybe other parts of the world watching, because there was flooding in the New York subways a couple weeks ago, sinkholes in Manhattan. One wonders what would have happened if they were sinkholes under high-rise buildings and not out in the street. It is part of what you're saying that places that didn't have this kind of flooding before need to find ways to prepare for it.
Well, absolutely. So even if the role of climate change in these rainfall events was relatively small, it is exactly the kind of extreme event that we are seeing in many parts of the world to become more intense and more frequent. That if there's one thing you prepare for in a warming world, it's heat waves and it's extreme rainfall events. Yeah. And of course, Germany also, and especially that part of Germany, is a very, very industrial and very densely populated area. So a lot of floodplains are completely built up. So when rain like this falls down, it just has nowhere to go. The rivers have nowhere to go. So that is another important, important adaptation measure that has to be implemented to to renaturalize some of the floodplains and give the river some space to go, because otherwise it goes where people are and literally drowns them.
Yeah. Are you getting the sense that wealthier countries are learning that their infrastructure isn't going to stand up to the effects of climate change? There might have been a sense of, that happens in Bangladesh, and yes, they prepare for it because they're in a floodplain, but we have, fill in the blank. Is there a sense that richer countries can't hold off the effects of climate change?
That seems definitely to be a feeling this summer. There are adaptation measures that could be implemented, but of course they have to be implemented. I think this hubris that we've seen in Germany in particular, that nothing will happen here, because we are this historically engineering nation, is certainly waning.
Yeah. You mentioned heat. You were part of a 9-day round-the-clock scientific study to determine what role global warming played in triggering that heat dome that hung over the Pacific Northwest last month and just baked it. What did you find there?
So we found the temperatures, these extremely high temperatures, that they would have been basically impossible to reach without man-made climate change. We also found that it's still a very rare event, so approximately a 1 in 1,000 year event in today's climate, so with 1.2 degrees of global warming. But we also looked in how the likelihood of such an event is changing with increasing temperatures. And at 2 degree warming, so only 0.8 degrees warmer than we are now, it would be happening about every 5 to 10 years.
Mm. We have big climate talks coming up in November. What impact do you hope, or maybe even know already, having talked to people, this past summer might have on those talks?
Well, I really, really hope that what this summer has shown is that just how important it is to keep global temperatures from rising above 1.5 degrees, but also that all the measures to transform our economic system to not being one dependent on burning fossil fuels, we have also to put an incredible amount of effort into adaptation and into making our societies more resilient. And that is in particular important for heat waves, because heat waves are by far the deadliest extreme event in the developed world. And I don't think that has really hit home yet to everyone making decisions on housing infrastructure, on education, on climate adaptation locally. And I really hope that we don't need more wake-up calls than this summer has shown us.
Well, just give us an example. What can Seattle and Portland and cities in the northwest of America do to be more preventive when it comes to people dying from the heat?
So there are very simple measures that one can do. Drink a lot of water. And we have seen that in the area there were already cooling centers, so just public buildings that were air-conditioned, that were open, so people could go there and cool down. But people, of course, need to know that's what they have to do and that they otherwise might die, and especially those people who are vulnerable, and that's the elderly, those with existing health conditions, and of course also those who live in poor neighborhoods, which often are very poorly insulated and so get extremely hot or have no air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And then on the slightly more longer term, we need to change how our cities are designed. With all the concrete and basically no green spaces, we have what's called the heat island effect, so that temperatures in the cities get a lot higher than they would otherwise if there were green spaces. And so we need to redesign cities to have more trees, to have more parks, just to keep temperatures lower and prevent people from dying from heat.
That's Friedrich Otto. Associate Director of the Environmental Change Institute at the University of Oxford in the UK. Thank you so much.
Thank you.